Somebody died last Friday. Not in any sort of physical or physiological sense, but somebody died on Friday. She was 13 years old. 13 is a tough age, I think. There's changes in relationships, changes in routines, changes in bodies. 13 is hard. Her mom and her dad were always quick to say things like, "Oh, you're so beautiful." Always there ready to say, "Oh, that looks good on you. Oh, you look pretty today." On good days, she actually believed that. But there were other times that she wondered if they were trying to convince her or if they were just trying to convince themselves. Early that morning, she took a little extra time in front of the mirror. It was Friday, and that was always a special day at school. She stood there, and she practiced her smile, and she practiced her wink. And then she looked down at the rest of her. She was not sure about that at all. The dying part came later on during the lunch hour. She was usually able to avoid the mean girls. She knew about their tactics, and she'd gotten wise. But this time was different, and she just got caught. They never touched her, but their words cut her like a knife. Ugly words, hurting words. Words about her weight, words about her complexion, words about her clothes, words about the way her voice sounded. And they killed her. They just killed her. Something fragile inside of her died. Someone died last Friday. A warrior, a patriot. And even now, deep into his 80s, he kept track of things like Flag Day and the 4th of July. He knew when Veterans Day landed on the calendar. Things like that were important. Things like that mattered to him. He knew very well that democracy, that freedom, that law and order, that those were things worth fighting for, even worth dying for. In fact, some of his friends had done that in the bad old days. He was looking forward to the beginning of the baseball season. He loved the game. But even more, he liked that part right before the first pitch. You know that part where they hoist up the flag? That part when somebody marches up to the microphone and starts to sing. He would get frustrated. It bothered him to see fans at those games. Sometimes they would snicker, or they would just sit, or they would chew gum, or they would forget to take off their hat. What's the matter with those people, he thought. The dying part came that afternoon. His wife of over 50 years was in the kitchen. She was cooking dinner, so he turned on the TV news. And it wasn't on very long before he rolled his eyes at the witless newscasters. He curled his lip as he thought he could almost see a smile on their faces as they described the car accident on the highway, or the house fire downtown, or the near kidnapping at the elementary school. It made him mad. He was now mad at everything, mad at the world. But just as mad about the way that things were covered by the newscasters. Well, then the candidates started in, talking about each other, like playground bullies. And as they went on to the coverage of the global news, his heart beat faster, and his nostrils flared, and his fists clenched as he watched the scenes of horror in places like Syria. Monsters, he said under his breath. Bombs and blood. He got up and he said, "I want to kill them all." And something in him died on Friday. Someone died on Friday, though not in any physiological sense. She thought she was pretty good at hiding it. No one seemed to notice. It helped her feel better. It helped her feel normal. Helped her feel numb. It had been difficult in the last few years. Her husband had lost at least 2 jobs, and all 3 of her kids were in trouble at school. Her friends didn't seem to want to spend much time with her anymore, though. It all started with the doctor's prescription. The meds, well, they made her knee feel better. Surgery fixed it, but, you know, the meds afterwards seemed to calm things down. Seemed even after the joint was healed, there were other things they were good for. She found, too, that she could add a little something to her morning coffee, even put a little bit more in her water bottle as she waited for the kids' band practice to finish. Oh, she was not stupid. She knew. She knew this was not helping. She knew this was not healthy. She knew this was not good. But the more she used, the more she liked it. But still, the more isolated she felt. The more sorry for herself she felt. She wanted more, but she knew it was bad. She was hurting her soul, hurting her relationships. Well, that's when the dying part came. See, she hated herself, but she almost wanted to get caught. The kids found her in the bathroom, and they called 911. They saved her life, but something in her died that day. Someone died last Friday. Oh, not in any physiological sort of way. He smiled a kind of pretend smile. Have you done that? A pretend smile as they sang happy birthday. It was the big 5-0. It should have been a celebration. It should have been all about accomplishments and affirmation of his life. But the smile was just a cover. Inside, it had dawned on him that his life was not what he'd hoped. In fact, he was really kind of discouraged about it all. He'd sort of peaked out at work, quickly getting too old for any significant promotions. This was it. It's all there was. No place to go, new thing to master, no higher spot to take. It's downhill from here, he thought. And even though he understood very well that his worth and his value before God had nothing to do with what he could accomplish, what he could achieve, still he was disappointed. 50. And I don't know what I want. 50. And I don't know who I am. And that's when the dying part came. Because he started to think to himself, what if I disappeared? He thought about it, and it frightened him a little. He'd heard of other guys his age giving up and running away, and worse. Something in him died on Friday. Woodrow Wilson was the 28th president of the United States. And one night during the 3rd year of his 2nd term, there was an urgent call from his home state of New Jersey. The White House operator did not want to put it through because it was late, and after all, by then, the president had been asleep quite a while. But the caller persisted. He said he had a matter of urgent national importance. All right. So she put it through, and he rubbed his eyes, and he answered, and he heard a voice say, "Sir, the customs collector of our state has died." So Wilson said, "Well, I'm very sorry to hear that. Why are you calling me at this hour?" "Well, I'd like to replace him." Wilson said, "Well, if the undertaker has no objections, then neither do I." You have to think about that one just a little bit. Someone died Friday. Was it you? Was it me? Was it all of us somehow? Lutherans like to say that we die every day. We die every day to sin. We die every day to shame and to fear and to loneliness. We die. We die every day to despair and to death. But that's never the last word, is it? That somehow in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we all are raised again, raised to hope and to love, raised to life. Somebody died last Friday, but that's not the last word. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. You ready? Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Maybe we ought to tell somebody. Amen.